I have taken over Fritz von Hallstatt's duties. The security of this great state of Noon lies in my hands. Should this Skaven contact you again, well, you must inform me at once.
Nothing will please me more, Felix said sincerely.
No, please take me seriously, Herr Jaeger. I sense that you know more than you are currently willing to tell me. That is fair. We must all have our little secrets. But I must insist that you let me know. I want no more midnight forays into the graveyards. I know you are a brave and resourceful man, but these things are best dealt with by the authorities.
I agree completely.
Good, Herr Jaeger. Do not attempt to deceive me in this. My reach is long.
I would not dream of it. You have my word.
Good. Then you are free to go.
Just remember, do not worry, Herr Ostfeld. Rest assured, I will inform you as soon as I learn anything of the Skaven's plans, Felix said, fervently hoping against hope that he never ever came into the possession of such information again. Isaac Grottle pulled himself from his palanquin and lumbered over to the great barred window. His breathing was heavy, and already he felt hungry. It had been a long trudge through the underways to reach this secret burrow. Soon it would be time to eat once more. He congratulated himself. It was amazing from what simple sources the most brilliant of inspirations sprang. The entire enormous effort of this secret research warren had sprung from his own hunger. He doubted that any other Skaven would ever have thought of something so simple and yet so inspired. Let others come up with intricate and complex schemes, thought Grottle. Soon he would demonstrate to all of them that the simplest plans were the best. He looked down into the great warp fats and saw the monsters taking shape within their bubbling, glowing feeding fluids. He inspected the massive warpstone orbs which fed carefully measured jolts of mutating power into the vats when the watching vat masters deemed the conditions perfect. The rank smell of ozone and strange chemicals wafted up and made his nostrils twitch. It was a reassuring smell to him, the smell of the warrens in which his clan had raised him, from where he had begun the long climb to the power that he wielded today. He smiled, showing his great yellow fangs, and felt the pangs of his dreadful hunger once more. All Skaven suffered from it from time to time, usually after combat or some other violent activity. They called it the Black Hunger, and for most of them it was a sign of triumph and indicator that they could devour prey. Isaac Grottle suffered from it all the time. He had long suspected that continual exposure to warpstone dust and mutagenic chemicals had done something to him. He would not be the first Clan Mulder Packmaster to acquire the stigmata of some mutation, nor would he be the last. In his case, he also suspected that the change had done something to his brain, stimulated it, made him much cleverer and more cunning than other Skaven, rewarded him with fantastic insight. That was why he needed to eat so much, of course, to fuel his incredible mind. He stuffed his own tail into his mouth to try to control the terrible hunger pangs. Great gobs of saliva drooled down the bulbous flesh. He had already devoured every last scrap of the huge mound of dried meat he had intended to see him through his visit. He knew there was nothing much edible in this alchemical laboratory, except his own bearers, and in fairness they had done nothing today to displease him. The jars all around contained mostly toxic chemicals, nothing there for him. He breathed deeply and fought to bring his appetite back under control. Skitch looked up at him nervously. Grottle could tell that the little hunchbacked Skaven was uneasy. Perhaps he was thinking of all the other lackeys which rumour claimed that the packmaster had devoured. Grottle licked his lips with his long pink tongue. As he liked to tell all of his research vermin, those rumours were utterly true. The light of warpstone lanterns illuminated the pebble-thick lenses that Skitch used to compensate for his bad eyesight. Grottle nodded his head and twitched his tail, just for the pleasure of seeing Skitch leap back nervously. Skitch was small and weak, and so near-sighted that he could hardly see one paw in front of his face without his glasses. In many other Skaven clans, such weakness would soon have caused him to have been killed and eaten. But Clan Mulder had recognised his potential and kept him alive, and for that, Grottle knew, the little runt was truly grateful. And he had proven useful to Clan Mulder. Skitch was quite possibly the best vatmaster in the long and glorious history of the clan. He was a genius when it came to breeding and moulding all manner of beasts. Now he held out the cage that contained what was most likely to be Clan Mulder's greatest triumph. Isaac Grottle took the cage and inspected its contents. It was a huge, sleek, fat female rat, already pregnant by the looks of things. The untrained eye would detect very little different from an ordinary rat, Grottle thought. Perhaps they would think it a little larger, a bit more vicious. Perhaps they would even notice the wicked gleam of some abnormal emotion in its eye. But they would never suspect that they were looking at one of the most potent weapons the world had ever known.
"He doesn't look like much, does it?" Grottle said in his slow, deep, rumbling voice. "Does it?"
Grottle liked to repeat himself. He was proud of his voice, so powerful and so unlike a normal Skaven voice. Skitch knew a cue when he heard one.
"Perhaps not, Master, but then appearances are deceptive."
The Vatmaster's voice was unusually high for a Skaven's, and his words had an odd, insinuating quality.
"This beauty will lay waste to entire cities, will bring nations to their knees, will cause the world to bow before the genius of Clan Mulder."
Grottle nodded in a slow, satisfied way. He knew this was true. He just liked to hear his lackey say it.
"You are sure there will be no problems, Skitch? Absolutely sure?"
"Yes, yes, Master, I am certain. We have bred thousands of these creatures, and we have tested many of them to destruction in the approved manner."
"Good. And what did you find?"
"They have a huge appetite for almost any material. They will eat wood and waste if nothing else is available, but mostly they seek out and devour grain, meat, and other foodstuffs."
"Excellent.
They can consume their own body weight in less than 100 heartbeats and be ready to eat again in hours."
"You have done splendidly, Skitch. Splendidly."
The hunchback seemed almost to swell up with the effects of the praise.
"And they can breed in litters of up to 100.
They grow quickly, of course."
"They reach full mature size within a day, providing they find enough to eat."
"And the breeders?"
"Can bear a litter each and every day, as you specified, Master."
Grottle threw back his head and let his deep rumbling laughter pour forth. Such a simple idea, he thought. When these rats were released into the human city, they would consume all the food within days. All the stored crops from the harvest would be devoured. All the food in shops would vanish underneath a furry avalanche of hunger. They would eat and breed and eat and breed unstoppably. Then when no other food was available, they would eat the humans and their animals. And when all other food stocks were exhausted, they would consume each other, or die. Their lifespan was measured only in days. But before that happened, the humans would starve or flee from their city, and triumph would belong to Clan Mulder. Word would soon reach the Council of 13, and a suitable reward would be found for Isaac Grottle.
"We are ready to begin."
"Yes, Master. We have the captured grain barge almost ready. The conversion will be done in days. We will ship the specimens to where it is hidden. It can begin its journey any time you wish after that."
"Perfect. Perfect."
The human warehouses were near the docks. All they would have to do would be to take the boat into the harbour and open the cages. A few disposable house troops could see to that easily enough. Perhaps some rat ogres, just to be on the safe side.
"And do so as soon as preparations are complete."
"Of course, Master."
"You say you have thousands more of these?"
Grottle said, reaching into the cage to stroke the sleek fat rat.
"Yes, Master, why?"
"Because I'm feeling a little peckish."
With that, Isaac Grottle grasped the somnolent rat and stuffed it, still living, into his salivating mouth. It was still struggling futilely as it went down his throat. It tasted good, thought Grottle. Just like victory. Felix walked through the swing doors of the Blind Pig, and every head in the place turned to look at him. At first he wondered what for, But when Katka, one of the serving girls, came to take his order, he realized it was because no one recognized him. He smiled at her and was rewarded with a look of confusion until she saw who he was.
"Why, Felix, I would never have guessed it was you. Did the Countess give you some new clothes?"
"Something like that," he murmured, as he raced up the stairs to get to his room and change clothes. He was grateful to discover that the package containing his old garments had come from the tailor's shop. Thanks, Sigmar, he thought. It wouldn't do to go brawling in this fine suit. Then it dawned on him that simple possession of this new finery was changing him. This morning he would never even have given a thought to such matters, probably because he didn't have to. And what was he going to do with the pouch full of gold that Otto had given him? To his brother, it probably seemed like little enough money, but it was more than Felix could earn in a whole season of working at the Blind Pig. Gently he pried up a loose floorboard and dropped it into place there. As he changed for work, he considered his encounter with Herr Ostwald. It seemed that at long last the authorities were taking the Skaven threat seriously. At the same time, Ostwald appeared to have made some very strange assumptions about Felix. He seemed to assume that Felix was far cleverer and more involved with all of this than he actually was. He guessed that Ostwald was simply projecting his own reasoning and perceptions onto what he knew of Felix. Well, as long as he asked no questions about the death of Fritz von Hallstatt and the burning of the college, Felix was not going to disappoint him. The fact that Ostwald had deduced a vast and well-organized Skaven conspiracy from several random acts that Felix and the Slayer had perpetrated themselves might have been amusing, except for one thing. It was quite evident that there was indeed a vast and well-organized Skaven conspiracy. Even though he himself had killed von Hallstatt, there had been powerful ratmen present. Clan Eshin assassins had nearly burned down the Blind Pig, and monsters had been sighted just before the blaze which destroyed much of the Poor Quarter. Even though he and Gotrek had interrupted them, the warlocks of Skryr had been robbing the college. Even though they had stopped the plague monk's ritual, the Skaven had managed to infiltrate the Gardens of Moor, and the plague was still spreading through the city like wildfire. Hastily, Felix put the enchanted pomander around his neck and breathed deeply of the herbs. Ostwald had made no secret of the fact that ratmen patrols had been sighted in the sewers and other areas around the city. Scouting parties, most likely. Felix knew that one of the creatures Gotrek had seen in von Hallstatt's house was a grey seer, one of the rarest and most powerful of all the ratmen magicians, according to Lieber's book. A being, in fact, usually only sighted when the Skaven had great plans afoot. A chill struck Felix, and it was not just caused by his tattered clothes. He was forced to concede that, wrong though many of his facts had been, Ostwald's basic conclusion was most likely correct. The Skaven planned something big here in Nuln. But what? Gracia Thankwell took another pinch of warpstone snuff and stroked his whiskers. Things were going well. He inspected the mass of papers that lay before him and revelled in the messages they contained. Almost 10,000 crack Skaven troops would soon be in position in the underways beneath and around the city of Nuln. So large a host had not been mustered since the time of the Great Chaos incursion. It was the largest force the Council of 13 had dispatched to assault a human city since the time of the Great Plague, when the entire human empire had briefly lain under the iron paw of Skaven rule. And it was his to command. When he gave the word, it would attack, and in a frenzy of overwhelming ferocity would overwhelm the pitiful humans above. For a brief instant, the warpstone conjured up delightful visions of destruction and death before Thankwell's reddened eyes. He could picture the burning buildings, the humans hacked to pieces or led off in great slave trains. He saw himself striding through the ruins triumphant. The very thought made his tail stiffen. Things were going very well indeed. Even Thankwell's enemies were aiding his plans. That vile twosome, Gurnison and Jaeger, had, guided by Thankwell's brilliant insight, uncovered the lair of Vilebroth Nuul and stopped his plans in their tracks. The abbot had returned from the surface world alone, and no trace could be found of the cauldron of 1,000 poxes. Newell had spent the last few days limping around the underways, muttering darkly about traitors. Thankwell tittered. There was a certain poetic justice in it all. It had been the abbot's intended treachery to the cause of Thankwell, and, of course, the entire Skaven nation, which had been the cause of his undoing. It even appeared that the abbot might have done the invasion force a favour, for Thankwell's agents on the surface reported some dire disease was dropping the humans in their tracks. Of course, potentially, this meant that there would be less slaves once the conquest of Noon had been effected, so perhaps then would be the time to have the abbot punished. He could trump up the charges for the council and let them deal with Noon. Yes, it was true, Thankwell thought. Every cesspit has a warpstone dropping in it, if only you know how to look. He studied the plans of the city before him. The various invasion routes were well marked in red, blue, and green warpstone ink. They glowed in front of his eyes in a bright tangle and snarl of lines. Here and there, circles indicated breakout points where the army would erupt onto the surface. The sheer labyrinthine complexity of it all filled Thankwell's brain with pleasure. But the most pleasure came from his contemplation of what would happen afterwards. The city would be garrisoned against human attempts to retake it. He would set up labour camps and make the captured human slaves build a big ditch around the city. Then they could dam the river with a great water wheel, which would provide power for the Skaven's machines and sweatshop factories. At some point they would erect a huge 100-tail-length-high statue of their conquerors, and it seemed only fair to Thankwell that he should be the model for it. For truly, he would personify the Skaven spirit of conquest to them. It would be a glorious time, and the first of many victories that would end with all the human lands permanently and utterly under Skaven rule. He heard a not very discreet hacking cough outside the curtains of his sanctum. A hoarse voice said,
"Greatest of generals, it is I, Lack Snitch Tongue, and I bring news most urgent."
Disturbed from his reverie, Thankwell was inclined to be snappish, but Lurk had proven to be an invaluable lackey just recently, and his sources of information had been excellent. At this moment he seemed a little ill, but Thankwell was sure that would pass.
"Enter, enter. Quick, quick. Yes, yes, swiftest of thinkers. What is this urgent news?"
Lurk twitched his tail. It seemed obvious to Thankwell that the little Skaven had indeed come with interesting information and intended to savour his moment of triumph.
"I once blasted a lackey who kept me waiting a moment too long, stripped his flesh to the bones. A moment most patient of masters while I gather my thoughts. Some explanation is needed. Then explain. My birthkin, Ruslik, serves Clan Mulder. Indeed. And you think this information is worthy of the consideration of a grey seer? No, no, most perceptive of potentates. It's just that he has a habit of gossiping when he has consumed fungal wine broth. I see. And you, of course, are often sharing a flask or two with him? Yes, yes. Only this morning, in fact. He has told me that his master, Isaac Grottle, has a great plan afoot, one that will bring the human city to its knees. And I hesitate to mention this most understanding of Skaven. Hesitate no more. Quick, quick! He claims that Grottle's plan will bring him great glory, will make him more famous, even... his words, not mine, master. Then Grey Seer Thankwell.
News of this treacherous claim came as no surprise to Thankwell. It was ever the fate of great Skaven to be undermined by jealous lackeys. Doubtless Grottle sought to win esteem in the eyes of the Council of 13 at the expense of Thankwell. Well, the Grey Seer knew ways of dealing with that.
"And what is this plan? Speak, speak." "Alas, the fool could not say. He has merely heard the boulders chitter among themselves. He knows it has something to do with a grain boat. Before he himself led the raid to steal one from the humans, he has no other hard details." "Then go and find some. Now, I may need to spend warp tokens, most generous of masters. What you need will be provided within reason. I go, master.
Lurk bowed and scraped as he retreated back through the drapes. Thankwell slumped down in his throne. Certain things were starting to make sense. He had heard reports that one of the human grain barges had been stolen. He had merely put it down to some claw leaders exceeding their orders and doing some private plundering. Now it seemed that there was another ulterior and sinister motive. Thankwell knew that his position would not be safe until he found out what that was.
I don't like you,
the man said, slumping down in his chair.
I really don't like you.
You're drunk, Felix said. Go home.
This is a tavern. My copper's as good as anyone's. I'll go home when I please. I don't take orders from the likes of you.
Fair enough, Felix said. Stay then.
Don't try and smooth talk me. I'll go if I like.
Felix was getting tired of this. He had seen drunks like this before, belligerent, full of self-pity, just looking for trouble. Unfortunately, Felix was usually the candidate they chose for it. They always picked him for an easy mark. He supposed they were all too scared of Gotrek and the other bouncers. There was something familiar about this one, though. His coarse features and squat muscular form looked familiar even in the shadowy gloom of this corner of the tavern. He had been in several times over the past few days since Felix had returned from his interview with Herr Ostwald.
This is my girl,
the drunk said.
You just leave her alone.
Oh, of course. It was the peasant lad who used to go out with Alyssa. He'd come back. Alyssa can make up her own mind about who she wants to see.
No, she can't. She's too sweet, too easily led. Any city slicker with a smooth tug and a nice cloak can turn her head.
Felix saw the part he was being cast for. He was the heartless seducer leading the poor peasant girl astray. You've seen too many Detlef Sirk plays, he said.
What? What did you call me?
I didn't call you anything.
Yes, you did. I urge you.
Felix saw the punch coming a league away. The man was drunk and slow. He raised his hand to block it. His forearm stung from the force of the blow. The man was strong.
Bastard!
Hans shouted.
I'll show you!
He lashed out with a kick that caught Felix in the shin. Sharp pain stabbed through Felix. By reflex, he lashed out with his right hand and caught Hans under the jaw. It was quite possibly the best punch he had ever thrown against a man who was in no state to do anything about it. Hans dropped like a pole-axed ox. The surrounding crowd applauded. Felix turned around to bow ironically, and he saw Alyssa looking at him with a look of horror in her eyes.
Felix, you brute!
She said, moving past him to nurse Hans's head in her lap.
Oh, Hans, what did that heathen do to you?
Just looking at her, Felix could tell that any explanation of what had happened would be useless.
You have found out more of the Mulder's schemes, I hope?
Thankwell allowed some of his anger and impatience to show in his voice. Over the past few days, Lurk had spent considerable sums from the Grey Seer's treasure chest, but still had not produced any results. The little Skaven gave a wheezing cough.
Yes, yes, most perspicacious of masters I have. Good. Tell me. Quick. It's not good. Most forgiving of masters. What?
Thankwell leaned forward to glare down at the little rat man and watched him flinch. Few could endure the Grey Seer's red-eyed stare when it suited him to use it.
Regretfully, the wicked Mulders may already have implemented their plan.
Cold fury clutched Thankwell's heart.
Go on. My birthkin overheard the packmaster gloating. It seemed a grain ship bearing Clan Mulder's secret weapon will arrive in the Man City tonight. Once it arrives, the city will fall. He knows that it has something to do with the city's grain supply, but he's not sure what. Clan Mulder are very technical and have their own words for many things. may the horned rat gnaw your birthkin's entrails! Is he hearing any more? Just that the barge has been painted black to conceal it from human eyes, and that it will arrive this very night. It may even have done so already, most magnificent of masters.
Thankwell's fur bristled. What could he do? He could mobilise his troops and interfere, but that would mean moving openly against Clan Mulder, and every instinct the Grey Seer possessed rebelled against that. What if he summoned his troops and they failed to find the ship? Thankwell would be a laughingstock and could not endure that. There was no time to waste. He knew that this called for urgent and desperate measures. Swiftly he reached for pen and parchment and inscribed a hasty message.
Take this to the burrow, where the dwarf and the man Jaeger dwell. Make sure they get it, and quickly. Deliver it personally. Personally? Most revered of ratmen? Personally!
Thankwell made it clear from his tone that he would brook no argument.
Go! Quick, quick! Hurry, scurry! No time there is to waste! Edmund, mightiest of masters!
Vilebroth Null looked up with roomy, hate-filled eyes. He coughed, but the sound of his coughing was lost amid the hacking coughs of other Skaven in the corridors. At last his patience had been rewarded. His long hours of lying in wait near Thankwell's lair had finally paid off. Somehow, Vilebroth Null knew the Grey Seer had been behind the failure of his carefully contrived plan. So where was that little sneak Lurk Snitchtongue going at this hour? The abbot knew there was only one way to find out.
He started it,
Felix said, all too aware that he sounded like he was whining. He looked around the room they shared, his eyes caught by the package of clothes the tailor had delivered. He'd still not unwrapped them.
So you say, said Alyssa inflexibly. I think you're just a bully. You like hitting people, like poor hands.
Poor hands put a bruise the size of a steak on my shin, Felix said angrily.
Serves you right for hitting him,
Alyssa said. Felix shook his head in frustration. He was just about to get himself in deeper water when suddenly the window crashed in. Felix threw himself over Alyssa to cover her as broken glass rained down. Fortunately, not too much landed on them. Felix rolled to his feet and scanned the chamber in the lantern light. Something dark and bulky lay on the floor. Swiftly he drew his sword and prodded it. Nothing happened.
What is it?
Alyssa said, getting to her feet fearfully and pulling her nightgown tight around herself.
I don't know,
Felix said, bending over to inspect it more closely. As he did so, he recognised the shape, and he thought he recognised the thing wrapped round it. It's a brick, and it's wrapped in paper.
What? It'll be young Count Sternhelm again. He and his cronies are always breaking windows when they get drunk.
I don't think so,
Felix said, gingerly unwrapping the paper. It was the same thick, coarse parchment all the other Skaven messages had come on. He unfolded it and read. Friends, the black ship brings doom to your city. It comes tonight and carries certain death. It is a grain barge loaded with bad. You must stop it. Go quick, quick. You do not have much time. They will destroy your grain. Felix pulled himself to his feet and started to pull on his clothes.
Run and get me some paper. I need to send a message to the palace. Move quickly!
The urgency in his voice compelled Alyssa from the room without asking any more questions. Lurk rubbed his paws together and offered up a prayer of thanks to the horned rat. His message was delivered, and somehow he had managed to avoid being chopped up by the dwarf's fearsome axe. Mere minutes after he had lobbed the brick through what he had ascertained was Jaeger's window, he saw all the lights in the inn go on, and shortly thereafter the human and the dwarf raced from the building bearing weapons and lighted lanterns. A job well done, he told himself with satisfaction, and rose to go. He sniffed heavily, trying to clear his nose. He was not feeling too well, and had been feeling less than well for days. He wondered if he was going down with a strange new disease that, rumour had it, was going around the Skaven camp. The disease so strangely similar to the plague which was felling the humans. Lurk fervently hoped not. He was still young and had many things to accomplish. It would not be fair for him to pass away without achieving them. He almost fainted when a heavy hand fell on his shoulder, and a hideous bubbling voice whispered in his ear,
"You tell me what you have been doing. All of it. Quick, quick."
Even through the thick wad of snot that filled his nostrils, Lurk recognised the oppressive stench of Vile Broth Nool.
"What's the hurry, Manling?" Gotrick rumbled. "We don't even know where we're going."
"The river," Felix said, feeling a strange sense of urgency. The note had said they did not have much time, and their skaven informant had never lied to them before. "A ship must arrive by river."
"Yeah, I know, Manling, but it's a big river. We can't cover it all."
"It's a barge. There are very few places where a barge can tie up, and it must follow navigable channels." Felix considered the possibilities. What certainty did he have that this black ship was going to tie up, rather than, say, explode? None, really. He was just hoping that this was the case. Then it came to him. The big grain warehouses were down by the wharves, and the letter had mentioned grain. At least, he hoped it had. "The granaries," he muttered. "The north side docks are near the granaries."
"Well, the north side docks would seem to be the best bet, then,"
Gotrick said, hefting his axe. "Well, we need to start somewhere." They jogged on. Felix hoped fervently that the tavern boy had managed to deliver his note to Count Ostwald. Skitch cursed as the barge shifted off course again. It was not a vessel the Skaven were used to handling, and the helmsman had had a lot of trouble with the tricky currents on their way downriver. Skitch hoped that they would arrive soon, for if they did not reach the man-burrow during the hours of darkness, the whole plan would be ruined. The barge, painted black to be inconspicuous on this moonless night, would stick out like a human baby in a litter of runts by day. Well, he supposed the ship had been necessary. There was no other way such a huge number of specimens could have been carried through the underways and released into the human city without arousing suspicion. He knew the last thing that his master wanted was for either Greyseer Thankwell or the humans to have any inkling of what was going on. It was a well-known fact that the plans of Thankwell's rivals had a tendency to fail if he found out about them. Skitch shuddered at the thought of what would happen if the humans found out what was going on. He shook his head and returned to inspecting his charges. They scrabbled at the bars of their cages, hungry and desperate to be free.
"Soon, soon,"
he told them, feeling a certain kinship for these short-lived vermin that his mighty intellect had created. He knew they were flawed, just like he was. They would live only days. The ship moved on through the night, coming ever closer to the sleeping city. The docks by night were not a reassuring place, Felix thought. Light spilled from many seedy taverns, and many red lights illumined the alleys. Armed patrols of watchmen moved between the warehouses, but were careful not to enter the areas where the sailors took their pleasure. They were more intent in protecting their employers' goods than stopping crime. Still, Felix was reassured to know that there were armed men within call, if things went horribly wrong. He stood on the edge of the wharf and stared out into the river. The Reich was wide at this point, perhaps a league across, and navigable by ocean-going ships. Not that many of them came this far. Most traders chose to drop their cargoes in Marienburg and have it shipped upriver on barges. From here he could see the running lights of both barges and the small skiffs, which carried folk across the river at all hours. He assumed that there would be many more craft out there than lights. Not all boats or their passengers wanted their businesses known. Felix assumed that the black ship would be among their number. Only instead of carrying a cargo of illegal goods, it was carrying some awful Skaven weapon. Felix shuddered to contemplate what it might be. The cauldron of 1,000 poxes and the weapons of Clan Scryer had been terrible enough for him. The wind blew cold, and he drew his old tattered cloak tight about his shoulders. "What am I doing here?" he wondered. "I should be at home back in the pig, trying to patch things up with Alyssa." Or maybe not. Maybe that was what he was doing here, avoiding Alyssa. He wondered where things were going with the girl, and he had no real idea. It was just something he had drifted into, not something he ever imagined would have a future. He knew he did not love Alyssa the way he had loved Kirsten. Recently, he would not even say they were friendly. He thought that for her too it was just a passing thing, something that had happened. Maybe she would be better off with her peasant boy. He shrugged and continued to peer out into the darkness and listen to the waves slopping gently against the wooden supports of the wharf.
Our scuttling little friends have picked a good night for it,
Gottrick muttered, taking a swig from the flask of schnapps. Felix studied the sky. He could see what the Slayer meant. The sky was cloudy, and the greater moon was a sliver. The lesser moon was not visible at all. Smuggler's moon, Felix said.
What?
My father used to call moons like this smuggler's moons. I can see why. Dark. The excise men would find it hard to see you on a night like this.
River patrols, too, Gottrick said. Not that humans can see worth a snotling's fart at night, anyway.
I suppose, Felix said, wanting to contradict the Slayer, but knowing that he was right in this case.
Aye, just be glad the dwarf was here, Mumling, even though he has only one good eye.
Why?
Because there's your black ship. Look.
Felix followed the dwarf's pointing finger and saw nothing. You've had too much snaps, he said.
You people have yet to brew a draught that could get a dwarf drunk, Gottrick said.
Only legless, Felix muttered.
At least I'm not blind.
Just blind drunk.
I'm telling you, there's a ship there.
Felix squinted into the gloom and began to think the dwarf might be right. There was something large out there, a shadowy presence moving erratically in the deep water. I do believe you're right, Felix said. I apologize most sincerely.
Save your breath, the Slayer said. There's killing to be done.
Faster, Felix said, standing on the prow of the skiff and keeping his eyes fixed on the shadowy shape ahead.
I'm going as fast as I can, Master,
the boatman said, poling with all the energy of an arthritic hedgehog. He was a hefty man, slow-moving and ponderous.
A one-armed man could pull faster, Gottrick said. In fact, I'll bet if I chopped off one of your arms, you could move quicker.
Suddenly, the boatman found a surge of new strength from somewhere, and they picked up speed. Felix wasn't sure whether to be glad or not. He was nervous about approaching the Skaven ship in this small craft. He wished they had summoned the watch, but the Slayer had become overcome with battle frenzy and insisted there was no time to waste. He assured Felix that the commotion they would soon be generating would attract the river patrols. Felix did not doubt that he was right. As they came closer, he could see that it was a black ship, all right. A huge grain barge, painted all black and moving swiftly downriver. He wondered why the Skaven had done this. Certainly black made the ship inconspicuous at night, but during the day, the barge would be as noticeable as a hearse in a wedding parade. Maybe it had travelled downriver unpainted, and they had disguised it this very evening. Maybe they had a concealed base somewhere within a night's sailing upriver. Such a base could be quite some distance away, for a barge could cover a lot of water in one night, moving with the current, as this one was. Felix dismissed all such speculation as pointless. He knew he was only doing it to keep his mind occupied and distracted from fear of the coming encounter. What were they up to on the barge, he wondered. If they weren't Skaven, then they were the worst sailors he'd ever seen. The barge now appeared to be drifting in a great half-circle. He could hear a faint muffled drumbeat and the creaking and clashing of oars. It sounded like there was some difficulty in guiding the craft.
It's them all right, Gottrick said. Skaven are even worse sailors than I'd heard.
Felix could hear the distant squeaking calls of the Skaven now, and knew the Slayer was correct. Unfortunately, the boatman had heard him too.
Did you say Skaven?
He asked, superstition and fear engraved across his fat, sweat-sheened face. No, Felix said.
Yes,
Gottrick said.
I'm not going anywhere near a barge if there are chaos-worshipping monsters on board,
the boatman declared. My friend was only joking, Felix said.
No, I wasn't,
Gottrick said. The boatman stopped poling. Gottrick glared at him.
I hate boats almost as much as I hate trees, he said. And I hate trees almost as much as I hate elves. And what I particularly hate are people who keep me on boats longer than I have to be on them, when there are monsters to slay and fighting to be done.
The boatman had become very pale and very still, and Felix was almost sure that he could hear his teeth chatter. Gottrick continued to rant.
You will pull this boat till we reach that ratman barge, or I will rip off your leg and beat you to death with it. Do I make myself clear?
Felix had to concede that the sheer amount of menace the slayer managed to get into his voice was impressive. The boatman certainly thought so.
Perfectly,
he said, and began poling with redoubled speed. As they approached the black barge, Felix saw a new problem. Their skiff was low in the water, but the barge had high sides. On level ground, it would have been a simple climb, but on two moving vessels bobbing on water, it was an entirely different proposition. He mentioned this to Gotrick.
Don't worry, the slayer said. I have a plan.
Now I'm worried, Felix muttered.
What was that, Madeline?
The slayer looked close to berserk rage.
Nothing, Felix said.
Just grab that lantern and be ready to move when I tell you.
The skiff drifted into contact with the ship. As it did so, Gotrick smashed his axe into the barge's side. It bit deep and held there, and the slayer used it to pull himself up until he reached a porthole.
Very stealthy, Felix said sourly.
Why not give a hearty shout of welcome while you're at it? Another smashing stroke saw Gotrick over the ship's side. He stood there for a moment and then lowered the axe, blade first.
Grab hold!
He roared. Felix leapt up and grabbed hold of the axe shaft with his right hand, while holding the lantern in the other. Gotrick raised the axe one-handed, lifting it up apparently effortlessly, despite Felix's weight and the uncomfortable angle. He swung the axe inwards over the ship's side and brought Felix with it. Felix dropped to the deck, amazed by the awesome strength the dwarf had just displayed. "Looks like we're expected," he said, nodding at the mass of skaven swarming up onto the deck.
"Good," Gotrick said. "I need a bit of exercise."
What was that? Skitch wondered. He had heard an almighty crash and the sound of wood splintering. Had those buffoons managed to crash the barge onto a sandbar again? He would not have put it past them. They had claimed to be experienced sailors, and that crewing a human ship would be no problem. So far, that had not proved the case. If they jeopardized this mission, Isaac Grottle would tear them all limb from limb and devour their entrails before their dying eyes. But such thoughts brought Skitch no consolation. He knew he would be the first course at the Packmaster's punishment feast. When he heard the crew's squeaks of alarm, Skitch knew it was even worse than running aground. They had been discovered by a human patrol. He cursed the bad luck which had enabled the humans to discover them. It must have been a million to one chance. Now he wished he had brought some rat ogres after all. He had not done so for fear that their roars and bellows would give away the ship's position. But that did not seem to matter now. Part of him wanted to squirt the musk of fear, but then again it was his responsibility to see to his charges. He raced from the cabin into the hold. All around him, massive rats thrashed in their cages, desperate to get free and to eat. Seeing the look of feral hunger in their eyes, Skitch was glad that he had doused himself in oil of swamp toad, a substance that he knew his creations found repellent. Hearing the sounds of terrible carnage from above, Skitch swiftly began to throw open the cages. The rats swarmed hungrily up the gangplanks, moving towards their living, breathing food. Felix lashed out with the lantern. Its flame flared bright as it rushed through the air. The dazzled skaven before him leapt back, momentarily blinded. Felix took advantage of its confusion to stab it through the throat with his sword. The deck was already slippery underfoot with blood and brains. The slayer had left an awful trail of destruction behind him. His axe had reduced a dozen skaven to limbless corpses. The others were fleeing backwards or jumping over the side of the barge to avoid him. Felix moved along behind, killing those who sought to outflank the dwarf and putting the dying out of their misery. His heart beat loudly within his chest. His sword's hilt felt sweaty in his grip, but he was not as afraid as he usually was in mortal combat. Compared to some of the fights he had been in, this one was relatively easy. Suspiciously so, in fact, considering there was supposed to be some terrible skaven weapon on board this vessel. Not that the relative ease of the fight would make much difference, he told himself, springing aside to duck a knife cast by one of the skaven sailors, and lunging forward to take another ratman through the heart. All it would take would be one lucky blow, and he would be just as dead as if a rat ogre had torn him into little pieces. Concentrate, he ordered himself, and then stopped in horror, as the tide of furry forms started swarming up from the hold. Skitch snuck up the stairway and peered out at a scene of terrible violence. A monstrous, squat dwarf, wielding a flailing great axe, had killed half the crew and seemed intent on massacring the other half. In this, he was assisted by a tall, blonde-furred human who held a lantern in one hand and a wicked-looking blade in the other. All around, the killer rats gnawed at the bodies of dead and dying Skaven. Skitch froze on the spot and squirted the musk of fear. His paws locked on the last cage, in which frantic rats struggled to get away from the stink of the oil on his fur. Skitch recognized the pair who had invaded the ship. They had become something of a dark legend amongst the Skaven besieging Nuln. This was the fearsome pair whom even the gutter runners had failed to slay, who had routed the warlocks of Skryr, whom it was said even Grey Seer Thankwell feared to meet again. They were formidable killers of Skaven, and they were here, on this very barge. Skitch was no warrior, and he knew he could be of no aid to the Skaven in the battle above. It was possible that even the killer rats would fail to overcome this seemingly invincible twosome. It was plainly his duty, then, to escape, carrying the last of the surviving rats to preserve them for the future when they might be used again. So thinking, he held the cage high above his head and leapt into the night-black waters. Felix watched as more and more of the huge rats poured from the hold. There was a hunger and madness in their eyes which frightened him, and he wondered if these could be the Skaven's secret weapon. One large, fierce brute threw itself at him. He felt the horrid scurry of its paws on his leg. He lashed out, sending the beast flying, and stamped down, feeling the spine of another crack beneath the heel of his boot. He looked around at Gotrek. The slayer beheaded another of the Skaven crew, sending a great fountain of black blood belching into the air. Before the Skaven corpse hit the ground, more and more rats had swarmed over it. Something dropped onto Felix from above. He felt paws scrabbling in his hair and small sharp teeth nipping his ear. A foul animal stench filled his nostrils. He dropped the lantern and reached up, feeling muscles squirm beneath fur as he plucked the rat free. Fangs nipped at his fingers as he threw the thing over the side and into the river. More and more rats dropped from above or pounced from the deck. He felt like he was in the centre of a swirling storm of fur. Gotrek stamped and hacked and kicked, but he was in the same position. The rats were too numerous and too fierce to overcome. If they stayed, they would die a horrible death by a thousand bites.
"Not a death for a slayer, I would say,"
Felix shouted.
"Torch this blasted floating rat's nest."
"What?"
"Torch it, and let's be gone."
Felix looked around and saw the lantern. He picked it up and threw it with all his force onto the deck. Burning oil spilled everywhere. Felix had often heard his father say what a danger fire was on a ship. They were, after all, built of wood and sealed with inflammable pitch. Felix had never thought he would be grateful for that fact, but he certainly was now. Flames started to flicker and dance all around him. The smell of burning fur and flesh reached his nostrils. Squeaking rats scurried everywhere, their fur smouldering and blazing as they tried to escape the hot flames. Some leapt overboard and plummeted into the water like small living meteors. Others continued their attack with redoubled fury, as if determined to drag something else down in death with him. Felix decided that this was their cue to depart.
"Time to go!"
he shouted. A backwash of heat blazed towards him, singeing his hair and eyebrows.
"Aye, Manling, I think you're right."
Felix sheathed his sword, turned and vaulted over the side. He tumbled into the water, rats falling all around him. After the heat of the burning ship, it was almost a relief to feel the shock of cold, dark water closing over his head. He kicked out and up, and his head broke the surface. He could see that there were boats all around, come to look at the fire. Fighting the weight of his scabbard, he struck out for the nearest vessel. Sopping wet, Felix sat glumly on the wharf and kept his eyes peeled. So far, there was no sign of the slayer. He had not seen Gotrek since he plunged into the water. He wondered if the dwarf could swim. Even if he could, was it not possible that he had drowned, trying to hold on to his precious axe? It would not exactly have been the glorious death he craved. His clothes were wet, and his teeth were starting to chatter, but still he sat, wishing that he had some of the schnapps Gotrek had been swigging earlier. Felix wondered about the Skaven weapon that was meant to have been on board the Black Ship. He knew now that he would never find out what it was. The barge was a burned-out hulk resting on the bottom of the river. The boatmen, who had picked him up, had held their position in mid-river and watched it burn, before accepting a handful of silver in payment for carrying Felix to the shore. There was a wet slapping sound nearby. Felix looked warily to his right. One of the huge, hungry rats had made it off the ship then. It clambered up the side of the ladder from the landing stage, shook its fur dry like it was a dog, and trotted off up the wharf. Felix watched it go. Briefly, Felix considered finding the boatmen again and going out to search the river for the slayer. He knew it would be a futile effort. The Reich was too wide and the current too strong. If the slayer had drowned, doubtless his corpse would eventually be recovered and put on display at the old bridge, waiting with all the others the river had taken for someone to come and claim it. Felix could check there tomorrow. He stood up wearily from the mooring post on which he sat and prepared for the long trudge home. As he did so, he caught sight of a familiar figure, berating an equally familiar boatman who was poling towards the landing stage. Felix waved a welcome.
"Currents carry me downriver,"
Gotrek called, hauling himself up onto the wharf.
"Ran into our old friend here. Took most of the night to get back." "Going against the current,"
the weary boatman said. He looked as tired as any man Felix had ever seen, and deeply scared too. Felix could guess the nature of the threats which Gotrek had used to motivate him. "Well," he said, "let's get back to the pig and have some beer. I think we've earned it."
"Forgive me if I don't join you," the boatman said. And there's the small matter of my fee."
Cold, wet and bedraggled, Skitch finally scuttled into the underways. It had been a truly dreadful night. He had swum through the chilly waters, carrying the last cage of rats. After that, he had scuttled along the riverbanks until he found a sewer outflow, and then he had spent the rest of the night wandering through the tunnels until he had found the familiar scent of Skaven. Dodging human patrols in the dark, the trail had finally led him here. He was proud of himself. He had managed a long and difficult trek. He had lost his bifocals and could barely see, but he had made it, and he had managed to preserve a cage full of his precious specimens. Better yet, in the cage were several pregnant females, so he would easily be able to start all over again. The rats were healthy, too. Even now they were showing signs of agitation. Skitch realized it was because they could smell food. He was close to the storage chambers, where the supplies for the great invasion force were kept. Now, he thought, all he needed was a cover story to tell the sentries to explain his business. Easy enough. He would just say that he was bringing food for Isaac Grottle. Anybody who knew the packmaster would believe that. The thought made him titter. He was still tittering when his near-blind eyes failed to pick out the stone in front of his feet, and he tripped, sprawling clumsily into the dirt. The cage rolled free from his grip. The battered lock clicked and it sprang open. The killer rats bounded forth and raced off in the direction of the Skaven stores. Skitch groaned. He knew what the consequences of that were going to be. Soon, it would not be just Isaac Grottle who was hungry. Chapter 6. The Battle for Noon. The days grew darker. Fear and hunger were constant companions. The great Skaven plot drew to its inevitable conclusion, and it seemed to be our lot to be drawn into it. And yet, along with terror and horror, there was hope and heroism. As well as loss, there was honour. The hour of utmost danger arrived, and I pride myself that my companion and I were not found wanting. From My Travels with Gotrek, Volume 3, by Herr Felix Jaeger, Altdorf Press, 2505. Thankwall sat brooding on his great throne. Around him was marked a pentacle, inscribed with the head of the horned rat, and surrounded by a double circle of the most potent protective symbols. He had invoked all of the great defensive spells he knew to shield him from the dire forces gnawing at his destiny. These were runes sovereign against curses, diseases, ill luck, and all manner of death-bringing spells. They numbered among the most powerful wards the Grey Seer had learned in a long career pursuing the darker mysteries. It was a measure of how bad the situation had become that Thankwell thought it necessary to expend so much of his carefully hoarded mystical power to invoke them all. Thankwell lowered his great horned head into his hands and beat a tattoo on his temples with his claws. He was worried. Things were not going according to plan. Events were starting to slip beyond his control. He could sense it. His highly trained Grey Seer's intuition could feel forces at work here that were sending matters spiralling beyond the ability of any Skaven, no matter how clever, to predict. He was not quite sure how it had all happened. At first, everything had gone so well. His agents reported the destruction of the Black Ship, and he knew that once more his unwitting pawns, Jaeger and Gurnison, had done his work for him. Mere days later, the Council of 13 had authorized an increase in size of his invasion force. It looked like utter crushing victory over the humans was within his grasp. But then the accursed plague had started to spread among his own forces. Soon the underways were full to bursting with sick and dying Skaven warriors. As fast as the bodies could be burned, dozens more followed. Even the Skaven slaves manning the funeral ovens were falling sick. The symptoms, a hacking, snuffling cough, an evil pus filling the lungs, and finally a sudden onset of fatal spasms, were remarkably similar to the disease striking down the humans on the surface. Perhaps it was the same plague. It would not be the first time a contagion had made the leap between the two races. As if the plague were not bad enough, another menace had arisen. The corridors now swarmed with large, fierce, hungry rats. They were everywhere, devouring the corpses, eating the food supplies, fighting over scraps, defecating and urinating everywhere, helping spread the cursed disease, and at the same time starving the army. Even now, some of them lurked, beady-eyed, in the corner of his chamber, avoiding his pentagram but gnawing the furnishings. He could hear some of them moving beneath his throne. They must have been there when he cast his spells. Now they were trapped inside with him. It would not have been nearly so bad if the offending creatures had not been rats. It was almost a sign that the horned rat had turned his snout away from the great invasion force and withdrawn his blessing from the army. Certainly some of the more superstitious warriors were starting to mutter such things, and none of Thankwell's pointed speeches and sermons had reassured them. It did no good for him to point out that the humans were suffering just as much, if not more, from these twin catastrophes. Their granaries were empty, their food supplies consumed by the verminous host. The Skaven warriors simply did not believe him. They did not have access to Thankwell's extensive spy network on the surface. They saw only that they themselves were starving, and that their comrades were falling ill, and that there was a good chance that they in turn would be the next to be smitten by the plague. Morale had suffered, and no one knew better than Thankwell that morale was always a chancy thing at best for a Skaven army. He had done his utmost to hunt down those shirkers who muttered disloyal and treacherous remarks. He had assigned elite units of storm vermin to execute deserters on the spot. He had blasted several traitors himself with his most spectacular and destructive spells, but it had all been to no avail. The rot had set in. The army was slowly starting to fall to pieces, and there did not seem to be anything he could do about it. Thankwell kicked one of the rats from under his feet, where it was gnawing at the bones of the last messenger who had brought him bad news. It flew through the air and impacted on the curtain of spells surrounding the pentagram. Sparks flickered, smoke belched, and the rat gave an eerie, keening cry as it died. The air was full of the smell of burned fur and scorched flesh as the creature fried in its own body fat. Thankwell's whiskers twitched in appreciation, and he gave a brief savage smirk of satisfaction before returning to his brooding. Since word of the army's misfortune had filtered back to Skavenblight, no more reinforcements had arrived. It was not quite the overwhelming mass of Skaven warriors he had hoped for, but it would be enough if Thankwell used all his resources of cunning and far-sighted planning. Something would have to be done to save the situation, and soon, while there was still an army left that was capable of fighting. He did not doubt that he still had enough troops at his command to overwhelm the human city if they attacked swiftly and savagely and with the advantage of surprise. Even if the army then dissolved, he would have achieved his goal. Nuln would be conquered, and Thankwell could report success to the Council of 13. It would then be up to his masters to rush garrison troops here to hold the city. If they did not get here in time, that would not be Thankwell's fault. The more Thankwell thought of it, the more this plan made sense. He could still achieve his assigned mission. He could still grasp his share of glory. He could then shift the blame for anything that happened afterwards to where it belonged, upon his incompetent underlings and those traitors to the Skaven cause who deserted the army just before its hour of triumph. He reviewed the forces under his control. He still had close to 5,000 almost healthy warriors, drawn mostly from Clan Scab. He still had several teams of gutter runners, and a cadre of Clan Eshin assassins. The various foolish adventures undertaken by their treacherous leaders had left him with only a token force from Clan Scryer and Clan Pestilens. Isaac Grottle and his force of rat ogres, though, were still a formidable presence. He knew that a simple frontal assault was not necessarily the best of plans under the circumstances. What he needed was a bold stroke that would lead to certain and overwhelming victory. And he believed he knew how that could be achieved. Soon, his spies told him, the breeder the humans called the Elector Countess would be giving a masked ball in a futile effort to distract her court from their troubles. If the palace could be taken with all the human nobles inside, then the human army of Nuln would be left leaderless and easy prey to the Skaven assault. If the raid could be timed so that the two attacks were combined, so much the better. On the night the Skaven took the palace, the city would also fall in blood and terror. Perhaps, with their chief breeder in Thankwell's clutches, the humans could even be induced to surrender. It would have to be done soon, if he was to have any hope of success, but at least here was a chance that he could snatch victory from the slavering jaws of defeat. Before that, though, he had another slight problem. He would have to negate the protective spells surrounding him so he could leave his chamber and begin giving orders. With a long-suffering sigh, Greysir Thankwell began the incantations that would let him out from inside his own pentagram. Felix Jaeger kicked a huge fat rat from underfoot, sending it flying through the air to land in a midden heap. It turned and immediately began to devour the foulness in which it lay. Felix watched in hopeless disgust and despair. The rats were everywhere, eating anything that was edible and a lot that was not. There were thousands of them, possibly millions. At times, whole streets seemed to be nothing but a seething sea of vermin. His employer, Hines, had heard tales that they had taken to devouring babies in cribs and small children who got too close to them. Huge packs of the vile beasts flowed across the city streets, and the cats and dogs were too terrified to stop them. The only good thing was that the rats appeared to be mysteriously short-lived. It looked like they aged months within a few days. But when they died, the rats' corpses lay strewn like some hideous furry carpet across the cobble.